word, O Lord, is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And thy word, O Lord, I'm going to hide it in your heart that I might not sin against thee. So for those of you who were here last week, it's no surprise to you what I'm going to be sharing today, because I told you last week we're going to continue. We're going to pick up where we left off last week. And we are on a discussion and we're talking about bitterness and what bitterness can do to us. And as I started this out last week, I had shared with you how that bitterness is one of those things that if you ask anyone if they are bitter, they will say no. Bitterness is probably one of the most difficult things for you to realize that you have in your heart, because bitterness creeps up slowly within you. It starts out slowly. And we discussed ways that bitterness can develop within us, and we looked at a red flag that we should all be aware of. Bitterness starts out like this. Somebody does something that you perceive against you, and you keep replaying that conversation in your mind. It's just like a movie in your mind. It just keeps going over and over and over. You just can't let it go. You're dissecting, you're analyzing the way that they said every word to you, the body language that they used, and then you come to the determination, it was definitely against me. And then it progresses, and if we let that go, and there's like, that was like four steps of progression that we talked about, and finally, it can get to the point where you wish that something bad would really happen to that person. And it all started with a thing of bitterness. Amen. You do that, then you get angry with that person, I think was the second step. You get very angry with them. And then you'll find somebody to side with you, which is slander. How that somebody or this situation, you can understand where I'm coming from. And then ultimately, you wish evil upon them. And bitterness is not a good thing to have within our hearts. God doesn't want us to be bitter. And I had also touched on it very lightly, how that if nobody has the right, but if anybody had a right to be bitter, it could have been Jesus himself, because he came into this world to seek and to save that which was lost, and he was rejected by man. His message wasn't received. They were after him, and he knew his purpose and reason for being here. He could have become bitter about that. He could have become very bitter about Peter denying him. Whenever Jesus was on the cross, Peter denied him not once, not twice, but three times. Jesus could have become very bitter against Peter, but he didn't, because we know the whole story and we see how it worked. And so we all have our own story of something that has happened in our life that most of the time when bitterness arises out of something, it has been a very unpleasant thing that has happened to you, something that you didn't feel like you deserved. And sometimes we even can begin to blame God for something that happened in our life, and it can cause bitterness within us. And there are some people that have turned bitter against God, thinking that it's God that brought this situation on me. So we're going to pick up here today. You can turn over to the book of Ruth, and we're going to start chapter 1 of the book of Ruth. And Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you will help us today. You will guide, you will lead us, God. Lord, the words that be spoken, let them be words that you once said, God, that we will analyze ourselves, that we will look, we will see, God. Lord, if we have any root of bitterness within us, God, that we will deal with that, God. We will uproot that thing. We will get it out of our heart, God. Lord, guide us this day. In your name, Jesus, amen. And so Ruth chapter 1 and verse 10, we're going to start at. And so last week where I left off, we talked about bitterness and different things that can happen, how it can just be a family thing. There are some families that are very bitter. The mom and dad are bitter. They have embedded that within their children. Their children are very bitter, and those children are going to pass it on to their children. And I'm sure you probably know of situations like that. And so then today, what we want to share, and we're going to get to that, how do we get rid of this bitterness within our hearts? We analyzed ourselves last week, and this week I want us to, when I'm finished here, I want us to spend some time in prayer, and I want us to analyze ourselves to see if we have any root of bitterness within us, and we're going to get rid of that thing. And so Ruth chapter 1 and verses 10 through 14, I'm going to read this. And they said unto her, surely we will return with thee unto thy people. And Naomi said, turn again, my daughters. Why will ye go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb, that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters. Go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. if I should say I have hope, if I should say I have a husband also tonight and should also bear sons, would ye tarry for them till they were grown? Would ye stay for me, for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me. And they lifted up their voice and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. And so let's see what happened. Here in the book of Ruth, we're reading this story about Naomi. And interesting enough, the word Naomi means pleasant. Pleasant. So Naomi, the meaning, the significance of that name is pleasant. She was a pleasant person. She was a good person. And she was the wife of Elimelech. And Elimelech took his wife Naomi, and he took his two sons from Bethlehem down into Moab, because there was a famine in Bethlehem. So he went down to Moab. Now, if you know the Old Testament very much, you know that the Jews, the children of Israel, were supposed to have nothing to do with the Moabs, the Moabites, if you want to call them that. They weren't to have any communication with them. They were to excommunicate themselves from them. But because a hard time came, Elimelech decided he was going to take his wife, and he was going to take his two sons, and he was going to go down into Moab. So that's a mistake that was made right there. But when living in Moab, the two sons married wives, and the wives that they married were named Ruth and Orpah, and we read about that this morning. But they were from the Moabites. They were from the people of Moab. Elimelech and his two sons, they died in Moab. And so that left Naomi, Elimelech's wife, and it left his two daughter-in-laws, Ruth and Orpah, to fend for themselves. And then they heard that the famine was done up in Bethlehem, up in their homeland. The famine was over with. It had lifted. So Naomi decided that she was going to return back up to Bethlehem. She was going to go back to her own people. And then where we picked up with the story this morning, they started out together. But along the way, Naomi gave the young women that were with her, her two daughter-in-laws, she gave them the freedom to go back to their own people. She gave them that freedom. And we read in the last verse, I believe that I read, verse 13 and 14, Orpah turned back to her homeland, but Ruth was committed to her mother-in-law, Naomi, and to her God. She was committed to her. So in this same chapter, in verse 19, so they too went, and this would be Ruth and Naomi. They went until they came to Bethlehem, and it came to pass when they were come to Bethlehem that all the city was moved about them, and they said, is this Naomi? Remember, she's supposed to be pleasant. And they said unto them, and she said to them, call me not Naomi, call me Mara, which means bitter. Call me Mara, which means bitter. For the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. You see, she's blaming the Lord. I went out full, I come back empty. Don't call me. Don't call me. She says, don't call me, Naomi, but don't call me pleasant, but call me bitter, because God's been bitter with me. I went out full, the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Why then call ye me Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me? And so what caused the people, what caused this town to be stirred when they went in there? Because it says that in the verse, and all the city was moved, they were stirred about them, and they said, is this Naomi? Perhaps it was Naomi's appearance. It wasn't the Naomi that they knew when she had left Bethlehem. She came back. Or it could have been the changes that happened to Naomi. They looked at her and thought, there's something different about her. She's not the lady that we remember. She's not that happy-go-lucky, pleasant person that we knew at one time. She just seems to be a hard person. She seems to be a bitter person. Something seems to have changed in her. And perhaps in your lifetime, you have known someone, and you knew them to be a pleasant person, and you go by, and you haven't seen them in a while, but then when you see them again, there's something different about them. They just look hardened. They just look like they've really been through the mill, as we express it. And so in verse 20 and 21 that I read to you, Naomi blamed God for making her life bitter and empty. She blamed God because her life was bitter and empty. She had married a husband. God blessed them God blessed her with two sons. She had the two sons. God blessed her with the two daughter-in-laws. And so she blamed God for her life being bitter and empty. And she could only see what she had lost. I lost my husband and I lost my two sons. And she was stuck in what she had lost. That's all that she could see. And she became bitter as seen in her heart. She became bitter. And she was full of unbelief. And she was full of unbelief. And she doubted the justice and the sovereignty of God. She wasn't looking that God might just have a bigger plan. He has something great figured out for me. He's about to bless me. Instead of looking at that, she didn't look at it that way. She looked at only what she had lost. And when someone does something against us, we have that tendency to look at what we have lost. We just look at what we have lost. We don't take God into account. When something comes against you that could make you become bitter, you need to take God into account. Not just think, I've been shortchanged. I'm really coming out on the short end of the stick here. But you need to realize that you're in the hand of God. For does not the Bible tell us all things work together for the good to them that love God and are called according to his purpose? Listen, there's going to be hard, bad, unfair things that happen to you in your life. And you need to keep in mind that God is a sovereign God and God is a just God. And he sees everything that goes on in your life. He sees when you're mistreated, not when you think you're mistreated, but he sees when you're really mistreated. Many times we perceive things to be against us, and we turn bitter over things that the person perhaps didn't really mean ill by it, but it just works on it that way. And so Naomi was angry for what had happened to her, and she blamed God for it. Perhaps you're facing something in your life that you're angry about a situation, something that has happened or is happening in your life, and you can become angry and you can blame God for it. You can say, God, after all, you're God. You allowed this to happen. I don't understand why you allowed it to happen. We have to be careful. How do we know that she was angry? Amen. How that she was bitter. We know that she was angry and bitter for what she had lost. If anybody had a right to be bitter and to be upset, it would be her. Her life was going good. She was living the dream, and it was all taken away from her. And then we have the story of Job. He was living. He was a just man. He was upright before God. And we know very well his story. And so what's the story that you have? What's your story? What has caused you to become so indifferent, to become bitter, and you're not sweet anymore? As Naomi's name signified, she was a pleasant person. You're not that pleasant person anymore. Well, I'm a product of my environment. I am what I am because if what happened to me happened to you, you would feel the same way I do. But it don't need to be that name that way. So what's your story today? We all have a story. We all have a story. We all have things in our life that we could have become bitter about. And we all have things in our life that some of us perhaps have become bitter about certain things. And we don't even realize that that root of bitterness is in there. And I told you I was going to share a little story with you, a happening that happened to me, just to show you it don't have to be nothing major that has happened in your life that you can become bitter about it. That there was a situation that I faced on the job here probably about 6 or 7 years ago, and there was a new position that was formed, and they were going to be seeking people to fill that position. They only needed one person, and before that position was even posted and known, a person in the administrative side came to me and said, hey, we're going to be posting this job, and I think you would be a great candidate for this position. And so when it's posted, I would love if you would consider putting your name in. So if been in the work world, you know that if there's a promotion coming up and they come to you beforehand and tell you, put your name in, you'd be a good candidate, it's pretty much signed, sealed, and delivered. That's the way the corporate world works. That's how they do things. Although they post it, they make it look like it's for everybody, they ahead of time pick things. So I thought, boy, I got this thing sealed. And so I waited a while, and I didn't put my name in for it, didn't put my name in for it. And finally, I went down, and I put my name in for the position. And when I came down and they saw me coming, they were just all so thrilled. And they says, look who's coming. He's put his name in for this. And it was like I'm thinking in my mind, boy, I really got this position. This is signed, sealed, and delivered. I have it coming my way. And so the progression of time went, and they started to interview the different candidates for the position, and I didn't get picked. Someone else did. Man, you talk about a blow. You talk about feeling up here, and all of a sudden down here, I was sure I had that thing, and I was refused. It was like, nope, it's not going to be you. And I thought, wow, and I replayed. See, I did that. I replayed all that in my mind. Why did they come out here and say this to me? Why were they so happy when I submitted my name for this position? And yet they chose somebody else. How can they do this to me? And I could have become very bitter about that. And I did struggle with it for a bit. But I thought, no, I'm not going to go that route. I'm not going to be bitter about it. I'm going to be positive about it. And so the way I got victory over it, and the way that you can get victory over things sometimes, your situation will be a little bit different. But the person that got that promotion, the first day that they were on that new job, I went to them and I congratulated them from the bottom of my heart for getting the position that they got and how that they would do a wonderful job. And you know what they said to me? They says, you're the first one that has congratulated me for this, because there was many others that had applied for the position. They too did not get it, and they were very angry and upset that they didn't get chosen, and they weren't about to congratulate the person that was awarded that position. But I congratulated her how good and wonderful it was. And when I did that, it's like I just felt something lift off of me, and I never struggled with that situation from that day until this day. That could have turned into being a very bitter thing for me. I could have held it against that company. I could have took all kinds of decisions and things that I could have done against them, and I would have been miserable the whole time. But I decided, let go of it right here and right now. And in the back of my mind, not realizing it then, but I realized that God has control of every situation and everything. And God knew what was lying ahead for me. That's my story. My story is different than your story. I didn't know that one day I was going to be the pastor of this church. Had I got that position, that would have been a big conflict, and other things worked out and fell into place. And many of you know the history and the story, how it all worked out. Shortly after I got the church here, that I was able to go to part-time, working just 2 days a week, and my health insurance paid until I was 65. But had I been awarded that position, all these other things might not have happened to me, but that's the way I handled it. So what's your story? What's your story? We all have a story at times. Amen. Those people, and you may be one of them, or you may know someone that has been one of them. Many times when people lose children to an accident or illness, they blame God for their loss. They blame God for their loss. If they lose a child, that's a hard thing to lose a child. Instead of realizing that God is sovereign and God knows what he's doing, and I'm going to trust in the Lord. I don't like this thing, but God knew, and I'm in the hands of God. They become bitter against God. So for some people, that's their story. They blame God for their loss. And if a spouse has been abandoned, if a wife has been abandoned by her husband or vice versa, the wife, especially, she's going to wonder, she's going to be thinking, God, don't you see how much I'm struggling to raise these kids? And my husband's just out there doing whatever he is, just carefree, taking no responsibility for the kids. I've just been abandoned by him. How can he get away with this? You see, the bitterness can start to spring up in your heart against your husband. Amen. And you wonder, how can he get away with this? I'm faithful to the children. I'm faithful to you, God, but yet I'm the miserable one. Don't you care about me? Don't you see the dire situation that I am? He's not being punished. I'm the one that's being punished. I'm the one that's doing right. He's doing wrong, but yet I'm the one that's suffering. It can cause a root of bitterness to spring up within you, and you begin to wonder, God, don't you care about me? Remember what we're talking about this morning. morning, what is your story? Amen. What is your story? You can become bitter about these things too. You're an honest person, but you see a person that is a crook. They're a crooked person. They're known to be a crooked person, and they're prospering and they're doing well. And you say to yourself, God, how can you let it be this way? The one that's not serving you, he's so crooked and so wrong, yet he seems to be so blessed. He has so much. We can look at the bar owners, those that own bars, and we look at them, and in our mind's eye, oh, they're really prospering, they're doing good. And we look at our own situation, and here I am struggling. I'm serving God. I'm paying my tithes and my offerings. God, don't you care about me? Don't you see that the struggle that I am? Don't you care about me? Amen. Everybody has a story. We all have reasons and things that has happened to us that can cause bitterness to arise within our heart. Amen. Something else that can cause bitterness to arise within a person's heart. And all of these examples and situations that I'm suggesting to you, I realize the potential for bitterness to come out of these things. And we end up blaming God. And I've known a number of these. The next one I'm going to talk about, a childless couple, they can become bitter when they see families with several children and they can't even have one. And you see them with several children, you'll see them going down the street pushing a baby carriage and a whole line of kids behind them. They can't even support them and take care of them properly. They're not even in your eye, and it probably you're right and just in saying it. They can't even provide for those children the way that they should. And we want just one child. We can't even have one. Amen. And we say to God, God, why don't you let us have just one child when these people have so many and a lot of people don't want them? And on top of that, amen, we say to God, we think in our minds, it's not fair. We can't even have one child that we can love while so many children are being abused. Many children are being aborted. And God, all as we want is one child, and you won't do that for us. Amen. We say to God, God, why are you doing this to me? Amen. We don't know those things, but God is sovereign. He's a just God. He knows what he's doing. He has a plan. He has a reason. And when we get there, that doesn't help us now. You probably know what I'm about to say. But when we get there, we're going to understand all of those things. But we don't, and we're talking about it this morning, we don't want there to become a root of bitterness in us against God. Amen. For things that are happening in our life. And you can become bitter out of a belief that God won't punish the people who hurt you. You can become bitter against God. We all have been hurt. We're adults, even the young ones that's here. I'm sure you've been hurt in your life by things that have happened to you. And we all can become bitter out of those things. And how do we become bitter? Because we have a belief that God isn't punishing those people that hurt me. God doesn't hear my cry. God doesn't care about my situation. That's a very unjust thing that individual did to me. And God, why are you allowing this to happen? We can get so upset about things like that. And so since God doesn't intervene in your situation, whatever your story is, since God doesn't intervene in your situation, you then begin to stand as judge, jury, and executioner. You just decide that this is the way it is. You're judge, jury, and your execution in the lives of other people. I don't want to be the judge, the jury, and the executioner in the lives of other people. I want to leave it in the hands of God. Is it always easy to do? Absolutely not. But it's something that we must do. We must have God's help in doing these things. And then we begin to think in our mind, if God doesn't do something about this situation, I'm going to do something about it. But the Bible tells us, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. God will take care of the people that have done you wrong, that have done you wrong. It's in God's hands. We don't want to become angry with God. Amen. We don't want to become angry with God. And it all becomes a vicious circle in our life as we face these things. And the more we dwell, the more you dwell on what's been done to you, the more you dwell on what's been done to you, the injustice that you're suffering, the loss that you have experienced, then deeper goes the root of bitterness. The more you dwell, it's just not fair. It's just not right. You begin to think about it. You begin to dwell upon it. This injustice that I'm suffering, this loss that I've experienced, the root of bitterness goes down deeper and deeper. And carrying a root of bitterness is exhausting. It's tiring. It's like it's a weary. It's a heavy load. It's a vicious circle. We need to break that bitterness. And if we're not careful, what can happen is bitterness hardens the heart on the inside, and it also changes your look on the outside. You are adults. Some of you have been around long enough. You can look at a person. You can be around them a little bit, maybe not even have much conversation. And there's signs and symptoms that people have, and not judging them, but you know, that's a bitter person. They're bitter. Then you begin to think, what happened in their life to make them be this way? That's what happens if we let bitterness get in. It hardens the heart. Amen. And then it also affects those that are around us. It is contagious. And so this bitterness that we have, and we're going to spend some time in prayer this morning, this bitterness that we have, how do we remove this bitterness? How do we unroot bitterness? First, we have to understand the heart of bitterness. And we've talked about that last week and this week. Bitterness, if it's unresolved, what is bitterness? It's unresolved, forgiven, unforgiven, anger and resentment result, and it is anger changing from an experience to a belief. It is constant. It's anger. You're angry. Then it changes to a belief. They really don't like me. They really do hate me. And then the progression goes. You're angry about it. And then you'll try to find somebody to side in with you that, yeah, you were mistreated. It was wrong. And the ultimate outcome is then you wish that something really bad would happen to that person. That's what happens. It's a constant thing. Bitter people are the same as angry people, but bitter people are worse than angry people because angry people display themselves. They'll shout words. They'll say profanities. They'll wish ill on somebody. They're just very vocal about it. But a bitter person, they just hold it inside. They're just boiling on the inside. They're like a bomb that's about ready to burst. And the only cure for bitterness and anger, and here's what it is, forgiveness. There has to be forgiveness. There has to be forgiveness. And if you are bitter towards God against something, it hardly makes any sense to say it this way, but you need to forgive God. You need to ask God's forgiveness. God, just like if you were holding odd against me, you would come to me and say, Pastor, forgive me. You need to go to God and say, God, I need your forgiveness. I'm understanding now this root of bitterness that's developing, and I'm beginning to blame you. I'm beginning to hold you accountable for what's happened in my life. God, forgive me. We need to seek that forgiveness, and you have to seek that with other people. Bitterness focuses on this. This is how you can tell if you have bitterness. It focuses on what has been done to you. What has been done to me? It just makes me angry when I think about it. I lose my appetite. My stomach starts crawling within me. I just can't sleep at night. I can feel tired. I'm ready to go to bed. I lay my head on the pillow. And I start thinking about that situation, and I can't fall asleep all of a sudden. It focuses on the wrong that's been done to you. And so if you're going to break the bitterness, amen, you must be willing to look at what you have done to others. What have I done to others? What have I done to that person? Have I done something that I shouldn't have done? Did I give some bad body language to them? Did I say some words that I shouldn't have said? We begin to look at that, but you must go to those you've hurt and you must seek their forgiveness, and then it's left in God's hand according to the word of God. You seek their forgiveness, and there are some hard-hearted people in this world, even though they have done you wrong, and you go and seek forgiveness and tell them that they've done wrong, they will still refuse to admit that they have done wrong because some people are just right all the time. They think they are. They're just justified in everything that they do. But you go to them. You seek that forgiveness, and it's up to them whether they forgive you or not. But you've done your duty before God. Amen. And God counts that as forgiven. You go and you seek their forgiveness. You ask God's help in revealing what's in your heart. Psalms chapter 139, verses 23 and 24. You have to ask God, God, reveal to me what's in my heart. God, I think this was wrong. This one did wrong. That situation, this, that. And we talked about all kinds of things that could have happened in life. Marriages and divorces and separations and abuse and sexual abuse and verbal abuse. And there's financial abuse and there's injustices that go on in families and among people. We hold all that before us. But what we have to do, our responsibility is, God, what has developed in my heart because of all these terrible things that have happened to me? Is there something in my heart that shouldn't be there? Psalms 139, verses 23 and 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. God, I want you to know my thoughts. And the kind of thoughts that that's talking about is my anxious thoughts. I'm very anxious. I just think they're holding something against me. I think they meant it for bad. That wasn't a nice way that they talked to me. God, know my thoughts, my anxious heart. Verse 24, Lord, see if there be any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. God, is there some wicked way in me? Am I turned in a wrong way? Have I done something that I shouldn't do? And so from the root of bitterness, if we let the root of bitterness go, comes anger. We talked about that. Comes wrath. Comes ill speaking. Comes cursing. Comes hatred. Comes envy. Comes jealousy. And we talked about it last week. If you see you have envy, you try to get rid of that. If you see you have jealousy, you want to get rid of that. If there's hatred in there, you want to get rid of that. If there's cursing in there, God, I don't want to curse. If you speak ill of others, if you speak bad of others, you want to get rid of that. You try to get rid of it, and you can't get rid of it. Why? Because there's a root of bitterness in there. And if you get the root of bitterness out of there, all of that anger, all of that ill speaking, that wrath, that cursing, that hatred, that envy, that jealousy, it's all going to be gone because the bitterness is going to be on. Be gone. Bitterness can also be the seed of many diseases. We talked about that last week. Bitterness can also be the result of mental illness. There's people that have mental illness. They're being treated for mental illness with medications, but down deep, it's the symptoms they're showing is because of bitterness that they have, things that have been left unforgiven in their life. Amen. And so it affects us, our mental illness. We're emotionally unstable. We're just up and down. We're just like, you know, the word that the world uses, and there really is such a thing, but you become bipolar. You almost have two personalities. You're the happy, giddy-go-lucky, and then you're the mean, don't talk to me, or you're going to wear this right in your eye. You have, like, what person am I dealing with today? Am I dealing with a happy one, or am I dealing with a mean one? That happens because of bitterness. Amen. And so most of these things that I just talked about right here, it can be treated with medication. And if you're on medication for something, I'm not saying it's because of bitterness, but you need to examine yourself. They can be prescribed to you, or it can be a prescribed drug, or there's people because of bitterness that they become alcoholics because it's something they just can't deal with. They're bitter down inside. They end up having destructive behaviors. They just wish ill on everybody. There's broken marriages. There's broken families. There's drama on the job. Some of these bitter people, they've got a broken marriage. They've got a broken family. You look at it. Disagree with me if you want. But a lot of those kind of people are the ones that cause drama on the job. They just bring what's in their heart right into the workplace. They cause drama on the job. Amen. They do that. All of this can be affected by the bitterness of the people involved. There's bitterness, and it just makes you show it in other ways. So roots grow beneath the surface. They're hidden, and they grow downward, firmly established. This is what bitterness does. It gets in your heart. It grows downward. It gets firmly established, and then it grows upward. And it's not an easy root to get rid of. And so to deal with the root of bitterness, first of all, have to deal with yourself. Well, they're the one. That's the one that abused me. That's the one that mistreated me. That's the one. They're the one. To get rid of that bitterness, you must first deal with yourself and what is in your heart. God, I want my heart to be right with you. Are you holding? And then we're closing this morning, and we're going to sing that song, and I'm going to have you kneel and pray. You can come to the front and kneel and pray, or you can do it in your seats. And so, are you holding pain from childhood issues with parents? Are you holding pain? You can be 70 years old and still be holding pain from a childhood issue that you had with your parents, where your parents really did mistreat you in a wrong way, possibly physical abuse or sexual abuse. It happens. Are you holding that? That can cause bitterness in you. Are you holding that pain from that? It's not easy to let go of that kind of pain. Your own family should be the ones you can trust. And where are the ones that hurt you the worst? That's not easy to deal with. Are you holding that pain in? Are you holding pain from childhood issues and with your parents? Is there rejection going on? Are you dealing with rejection or bullying in school? You're just rejected. No matter where I go, I'm just mistreated. Nobody wants me. I can't be a part of any group of anybody. I'm not on any kind of in-click with anybody. I'm just bullied wherever I go. I'm just rejected wherever I go. Are you dealing in your heart with parental rejection, neglect? Your parents, they're just neglecting you. They're not doing what they should be doing to take care of you. It could be ongoing right now, or it could have happened to some of us adults. We were neglected by our parents, and it's caused us to become bitter. Has there been a sexual or a verbal abuse that you have faced in your life? A lot of people have faced this in their life, and especially among the females. They have faced sexual abuse from their own, within their own families. And it's taboo. You don't talk about it. You hold it in. You just don't have anywhere to let it out. And it's like, you know, it's not right. It's an injustice that's going on. The main thing is you can't become bitter about that. Bitter about it. It's not right, but God sees it. Are you holding that in? Or some people could have a bitterness going on in their heart because of the pain of a divorce. Whether you was the one that got divorced or it was your parents that got divorced and it caused such a deep pain and hurt within you that you carried that to the rest of your life, you might be in your 70s or 80s now and you're still carrying that pain of that divorce because you let bitterness get in there. Are you mistreated? And I already used this example. You're mistreated. You're overlooked on the job. That can cause bitterness. Why did they get the promotion? I'm more qualified. I have more time. Why are they getting a pay raise? I'm not getting the pay raise. You're mistreated. You're overlooked. What has all this said to you, what has all of this produced in your heart? These things. Not comfortable things, but what has it produced in your heart? What has it produced in your own life? Amen. Has it taken control of your life? Has it taken control of you and you run on bitterness now? You cannot control other people's shortcomings. You can't control it. Somebody mistreats you, you can't control that person's shortcoming. They are the way that they are. That's something that you can't do, but what you can do is something about yourself. And what's that? You must forgive those who have hurt you, and you have to learn to trust God and understand this. You will be offended in this life. The last time you were offended, that's not the last time. It's going to happen again. You are going to be offended in this life. Know that for a surety. Let's find a place of prayer. You can do that right in your seats there. You can come around the altar. And so we're going to sing that song, Search Me, O God, and Know My Heart, I Pray. See if there be any wicked way in me. Cleanse me from every sin and set me free. Lord, after I've heard this teaching, this preaching, last Sunday and this Sunday, God, I'm beginning to think that I have a root of bitterness in there. Lord, and by the preaching of the word today, I realize I'm the one that has to get rid of that bitterness. I'm the one that has to do the forgiving. So find a place of prayer. Amen. And take this song to heart as we're singing it this morning. Let there be a cleansing, because this will make your life, as the name Naomi says, it will make your life pleasant. It won't be Mara. She says, call me Bara. You're not going to be bitter anymore. There's just going to be a sweetness that comes out of you. And people are going to look at you. How can you be so loving? I know how you've been mistreated. I know how your life has gone. Yet you're so forgiving. You're so loving. How can that be? That's because you didn't let bitterness get in your heart. Amen. And so search your heart out today. We don't really need any music for this. We'll just sing this. Amen. And I want you to purposely think about all those hurts that I talked about that you have. Well, no, I don't want to. No, if they're there, they're real. It hurts. And I want you to think about them. And then I want you to analyze your heart. Cleanse me, O God. Don't let there be bitterness in me because of whatever it is. You spill your heart out before God. You tell God what it is. It could be any number of things. Amen. And you have to get that cleansing from God today. You have to uproot that bitterness.